Hello everybody and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies. Today is day 11 of the Season of the Witch, and today we're going to be talking about one of the most interesting voices in horror. Someone that actually isn't really doing horror anymore, but whose mark is indelible and still being felt to this day. I'm talking about David Cronenberg. David Cronenberg, who now is known for such prestige movies as History of Violence and Eastern Promises, which are actually have scenes probably just as horrific and as brutal as his horror movies, is an interesting character. He started out kind of being more into science more than anything. He really was into things like lepidoptery, like the study of butterflies. I know that I think at one point he was going to study to become a doctor, but he became fascinated with film and kind of went towards that way. And all things considered, I mean, we've got plenty of doctors. We don't have plenty of David Cronenbergs. Cronenberg is someone much like Alfred Hitchcock, who really has like these certain things that he's obsessed with, I guess, or that really fascinate him, probably a better way of putting it. He's not obsessed, but he is someone who is known as just being the master of venereal horror. Someone who a lot of his horror has to do in part with sex. And it's someone who, like, in kind of looking back at some of his movies, I was thinking, you know, a lot of the New French Extremity has a debt to David Cronenberg. And on top of all that, he is one of the architects and one of the best known voices in body horror. Body horror being about the transformation, the destruction, the otherness of our bodies, and how that change within our body can really impact the psyche and the horror within that. And it's something that you can see in throughout most of his movies, and there's different shades of it. David Cronenberg really was the first probably half of his career from the mid-70s up through the late 80s, early 90s, really was his heyday of horror. Not to say that there wasn't stuff that he did afterwards that would fit within horror, but he's someone who couldn't be constrained is a bad word, but he wasn't going to just stay to that platform. He was going to go beyond, because Cronenberg always has a lot of interesting ideas, and I think being able to do something different and still continue to explore those ideas in different ways is something that's really, really interesting. And in a way, it's a loss for horror, but Cronenberg doing other dramas and doing other types of movies is a gift for everybody else, people that don't necessarily like horror movies. And like I said, even in these movies that don't really have as much overt horror or violence or depravity as you would see in his earlier movies, there's still those hints of it. I'm thinking specifically of like in Eastern Promises, there's a scene where Viggo Mortensen is attacked in a bathhouse by a bunch of Russian gangsters, and he kills them all in the nude. Or the scene where in A History of Violence, where Viggo Mortensen once again, he's talking to his wife, played by Mirabello, and kind of lets her know that who he really was before she met him and his sordid past. And it leads to this really raw, uncomfortable to watch sex scene, and uncomfortable in the sense that it's sort of raw and somewhat violent, and in the way that it's portrayed. But if you had seen any of Cronenberg's earlier movies before, you know, these more prestige movies, you wouldn't be surprised, because Cronenberg has been fascinated with depravity, with like I mentioned, body horror, and the interplay of sex and violence before. And we see a lot of that in lots of his movies. And in a way, it's almost like, not necessarily that he's remaking the same movie, but he's taking certain aspects and focusing them on them differently. And so we have a lot of movies that sort of have like this thorough line that kind of goes through them. Now, I'm going to touch upon a bunch of his movies, but I'm going to focus more so on just a couple. Just because I think Cronenberg is someone, as I mentioned, because there's a lot of overlap, kind of knowing about one will kind of feed into others. But Cronenberg is a director who, his visuals are just striking. Like, the practical effects are insane. And even just the depravity sometimes on screen is just, it's, you gotta check it out. My words aren't gonna do it justice, but I will try. So Cronenberg kind of burst onto the scene with Shivers in 1975. And Shivers is this movie where in a people in a high-rise building are taken over by this parasite that look basically like giant red worms. I mean, it's hard to explain, but they turn anyone that comes in contact with these parasites into these mindless sex-crazed zombies, basically. They're not zombies in the way that, like, you know, they are trying to eat your brains or to eat you alive. That's a later movie. But more in the sense of like, these mindless creatures that are just working off of pure instinct, just violence and sex, basically. And we have just this horror of, like, people getting, you know, having these parasites coming out of their mouths, coming out of their bodies, these really brutal scenes of car crashes and violence, people getting stabbed. And intermixed with all this is, like, crazy sex. And even, like, one of the more famous scenes from this movie is someone recounting a sex dream about how everything is about sex. And, you know, right as she's about to kiss this guy that she's talking to, like, this parasite's about to pop out of her mouth, and he just pops her right in the face. Shivers is nuts, just like most of Cronenberg's movies. And the other crazy thing about Cronenberg is that this parasite is all created because of a scientist who is trying to find a way to use this parasite to create organ transplants. And that's something that really kind of comes up a lot in these movies, is like this scientific background as to why these horrors occur. And Shivers is a nuts movie, but just in general, this is kind of what we get from Cronenberg. Cronenberg followed that up with Rabbit in 1977, starring Marilyn Chambers, who was an adult movie star at the time. From what I've heard, he wanted Sissy Spacek to be in this movie. At this point, basically being an unknown, this is before Carrie, but was shot down. So his second choice was, of course, an adult film star. But it makes sense in a way, because Rabbit starts off with Marilyn Chambers' character, Rose, being in a car accident and having the car after the accident catches fire, and so her body is burned up. And through this, there is a nearby plastic surgery hospital that does this experimental treatment in order to graft skin from part of her body onto her face, and it's successful. She's in a coma for a month, but it looks as if nothing has happened. But when she awakes, she all of a sudden has this craving for human blood, and not like in the way of a vampire or a zombie that's just gonna like bite you and try to eat you, but she has this proboscis, or if you want to kind of keep the sexual theme, basically she has a phallus that comes out of her arm and strikes people. And in doing so, she is able to ingest blood, and unfortunately turns her victims into mindless zombies. This, of course, then leads to a breakout throughout the city, and I guess it's you're to believe that this is kind of lead to the end of society as we know it. But intermixed with all this, considering that we have Marilyn Chambers, she is basically, the whole time she is shown as almost like this fetish object that, like sex on screen, where she is just raw sexuality. And a part of her, the way that she's able to get her victims is to lull them into this false sense of security or this sense of lust through her beauty and through making out and the anticipation of sex. And then she strikes, and then they become little by little, these people turn into mindless zombies, as I mentioned. And in the end, this leads to her own destruction because she doesn't believe this. And so she, being, once again, the scientific mind, she has this experiment and she turns someone who then, of course, kills her. Rabbit is just as insane as Shivers. And, like, it's crazy just how this insanity just continues. In 1979... we have David Cronenberg's The Brood, which has psychological elements, but I almost feel like that's just a veneer, because this is really about this treatment that causes people to end up having these deformed children who then kill people. Once again, like, part of this is just like these crazy effects. The children themselves all look like variations on the same person with just like these fugly faces. And this stars Oliver Reed, who's a crazy madman who is been in all sorts of stuff and who in a certain sense is horror royalty for movies such as this and like The Devils and some Hammer horror movies in early in his career. But this movie, the great thing about Cronenberg in general is that he has these crazy ideas and then he has like these crazy visuals to go with it. And I think for The Brood, the one that people always think of is Samantha Egger in this like white dress that she pulls up, and it's all these like sacks in her stomach that are ready to burst to create these more evil children to kill and destroy everybody. It's great. Probably the movie that really kind of got everyone talking about Cronenberg, and a movie that I mentioned before, is 1981 Scanners. It's worth it alone just to find clips of people blowing up each other's heads in this movie. So Scanners has to do with these psychics who are able to, known as scanners, that are able to control people's minds. And there is this group of scanners that are going around trying to take over the world. But amongst them is someone... is one person who doesn't want this to happen, and he ends up getting to Michael Ironside first, who is one of the more powerful scanners, and recruits him in order to kind of have this, be able to take on these other evil scanners. And the famous sequence of someone's heads blowing up, it has to do with a psychic battle between Michael Ironside and this another unfortunate person whose head fucking explodes, and it's glorious to see. And that's not to say that's all that happens in Scanners, but that really is, like, if you're gonna distill that movie into what it is, it's exploding heads. But Scanners is great, and Scanners, I think, really just kind of continues having this idea of, even though we have, like, psychic powers, like, it's almost trying to, Cronenberg's trying to kind of ground this, but the visuals, just once again, are what really sell this. And the idea of scanners are something that is taken from William S. Burroughs' Naked Lunch, which is actually a movie that Cronenberg himself directed much later, or a few years after Scanners. And I feel that even though Scanners may be in the early 80s, we kind of have like these movies specifically that I think everyone, or that most people think of when they think of David Cronenberg, that being Scanners, Videodrome, and of course the remake of The Fly. Videodrome is like this crazy movie about like this merging of machine and man in a way, although in this particular case it has to do with videotapes. It's based on a story of that Cronenberg wrote himself. Like much of his work, not all of Cronenberg's work is he wrote himself, but a lot of it he did. And Videodrome has all these like crazy sequences having to do, once again, with specifically with body horror. There is, I think, famously the scene of James Woods, the main character in this movie, and he runs a kind of local TV channel, that Channel 83, which is known for basically just showing sexuality and sex and violence. And he justifies this by saying, we're a small channel, we need to compete, so this is what we need to show. He one day comes across this feed of something called Videodrome, which is basically just nonstop sexual like torture, and he becomes interested in kind of buying this out. He of course is then taken. They try to take him over in order to this mysterious group led by Professor Brian Oblivion, who feels that the future is this melding of man and videotape, basically man and machine, and he. I think what I'm getting to is like one of the more famous scenes is James Woods having a slit in his stomach, much like the opening of a VCR, and having a literal VCR shoved into his stomach, and the tape that plays in his head is telling him to kill his partners, and he ends up sticking his own hand in his own stomach and pulling a gun out, a gun which then starts to combine with his body and becomes a part of him, kind of going with this whole idea of this transformation of people. And there's just a lot of crazy shit like this in Videodrome, and I think that's real. What really it's one of the selling points of Cronenberg in general, but I think it's something that people really think about when it comes to Cronenberg. I think my favorite movie that Cronenberg has done outside of Rabbit, because Rabbit is just fucking insane, is the remake of The Fly, which is one of the best horror movies of the 80s, and a movie that used to haunt my nightmares when I was a kid, specifically with Brundlefly. So for those that don't know, The Fly was originally a Vincent Price movie from the 50s, wherein a mad scientist, through an experiment, ends up having his hand and head transported onto the body of a fly, and a fly's head and arm and head and hand transported onto his scientist's body. So this is a crazy idea, but something that would make sense completely with the type of movies that come out in the 1950s. This particular movie, with 1986, stars Jeff Goldblum as Seth Brundle, a scientist who perfects teleportation technology. So he's able to teleport mass from one pod to another, and as this movie progresses, it's actually kind of a love story between Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, who plays a journalist who learns about this about this breakthrough with teleportation, and ends up kind of falling in love with Jeff Goldblum. And this is Jeff Goldblum, so we get to see Jeff Goldblum go nuts, because he decides that in order to show the viability of this, he needs to be able to transport a human. So he experiments on himself, goes into one pod, unbeknownst to him at the same time, a common housefly flies into the pod with him, and due to the error of these two separate DNAs, they are merged into one being. Jeff Goldblum comes out the other side feeling a little sick, but otherwise okay. And as the movie progresses, we get this transformation, this very disgusting transformation, I might say, of Jeff Goldblum into this fly creature. In the beginning, this is almost seen as a power fantasy. He's become stronger, he becomes more virile, he almost becomes like this apex human because of the fly DNA. But as his body starts to reject it, he starts to change. And little by little, his body starts to deteriorate to the point where he has to like wear gloves over his hands because he can't, or like mittens because he can't really use his hands anymore. His penis falls off, which he then keeps in a jar in his bathroom. He needs to vomit on food, much like a fly, in order to be able to digest it. And before this transformation really gets to the more crazy sequences of his body deteriorating, he has sex with Gina Davis and he impregnates her, and she starts having these nightmares of her giving birth to larva, and it's nasty. but they're dream sequences. The crazy thing about all this and about this transformation, this breakdown of Jeff Goldblum's body of Seth Brundle, is that it was all inspired by the by Cronenberg's parents who had cancer, and seeing them deteriorate over time. And at the same time, I think it's also kind of commenting on aging in general. I mean, this is a horror movie, so then at the, you know, he ends up becoming this fly sized human hybrid that like I said, that particular iteration of known as Brundlefly was just seared into my brain and scared the shit out of me as a kid. But Brundlefly is it's this puppet which it's all special. It's all the special effects. It basically looks like a giant fly that is skin toned. And when right before it, that final immersion, just seeing Jeff Goldblum's face literally rip apart to have a fly head is nasty. You know, Brundle, of course, seeing he tries to protect himself, but seeing what he's become, ends up basically allowing Gina Davis to kill him to put him out of his misery. This movie is, it's disturbing. It's a movie that I said has stayed with me, and a movie that, you know, when I saw it as a kid, I didn't realize that there was all this depth to what was in there. I saw this disgusting creature feature with really great effects that hold up to this day. And, in a way, a seminal movie of my childhood, unfortunately. But a movie that has much more depth, much like a lot of movies that have stood the test of time, and movies especially from the 80s that as a kid I didn't realize were trying to say more. And I think The Fly is, like I said, I don't know if it's Cronenberg's best, but it's definitely my favorite of his movies. Cronenberg ended up following that up with Dead Ringers in 1988, which stars Jeremy Irons as identical twin brothers Beverly and Elliot, who are both gynecologists, kind of going back to Shivers and Rabid and to this fascination with the vagina and with sex. And the Mantle brothers, as they're known, are basically world-renowned gynecologists. They end up meeting this actress, and they both end up on their own independently having sex with her. And of course she finds out that they're twins. One of them becomes more obsessed with her as time passes, and it leads to the deterioration of their basically symbiotic relationship. And in the end, one ends up disemboweling the other, taking on more of his traits. This movie is nuts. It's great to see, just to see Jeremy Irons playing two completely different characters. And just the, once again, just the depravity that you would expect in a Cronenberg movie. And speaking of depravity, the last movie that I wanted to touch on, because these aren't the only horror movies that Cronenberg did. I mean, he did like The Dead Zone. There's other stuff that he's done, and there's other stuff that has horror elements in it that he's done, like The Naked Lunch, some of the stuff I mentioned earlier. But the last movie, like I said, speaking of depravity, that I want to talk about is Crash. Not the 2004 piece of shit Paul Haggis movie that won an Academy Award. I'm talking about 1996's NC-17 rated Crash, directed by David Cronenberg, based on the J.G. Ballard novel about this underground group of car crash victims who get into car accidents in order to reach sexual climax. This movie is all about the interplay of car crashes and sex. Two things that I don't think necessarily go together, but apparently they do. This movie is fucking crazy. It stars James Spader, Holly Hunter, Elias Koteas, Deborah Kara Unger, and Rosanna Arquette as people that start, basically it starts off with James Spader being in a car accident with Holly Hunter, and he ends up getting, having to have some plastic surgery for some burns, and also his leg gets kind of fucked up, so he has to walk with a cane. Holly Hunter as well has some injuries, but she ends up bringing James Spader into this underground cult of people, including Rosanna Arquette and Elias Koteas, among others, who, as I mentioned, get into car accidents in order to reach sexual gratification. And as time progresses, Deborah Kara Unger, who plays James Spader's wife, also ends up getting involved in this underground scene, and we get sequences of people basically getting into car crashes and it leading to sex. People showing up in the car, going to the cars that they were in accidents in order to feel something, in order to have sex. This movie is crazy. It's great. It's one of the few movies that I think ends with a triumphant sequence of people people fucking after a car accident, and basically promising that next time they will die in a car accident. It's almost trying to reach this climax of literal climax of car crashes, sex, and orgasm. It's fucking out there. But it's David Cronenberg. What do you expect? I also want to say, if I remember correctly, there is one particular character who wants to get decapitated, and that's like his end-all be-all move, is to get decapitated while wearing a Marilyn Monroe dress, if I remember correctly. Because even with Amongst All the Favorite, you gotta have some fun. But like I said, David Cronenberg is someone who has brought a lot to horror and who has inspired plenty of people and whose movies are worth checking out. You gotta love Cronenberg. And even if this sounds way too fucking out there, I mean, watch something like Eastern Promises or A History of Violence if you want to get an idea, maybe not as extreme as the ones I'm talking about, but an idea of what Cronenberg has to bring to the table. And at the end of the day, anyone who is willing to show up in a Friday the 13th movie to get impaled by Jason Voorhees, that person, you gotta give it to them. That was Jason X, by the way. So that's it for today. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.